Grace, greetings, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 15th of September. I'm your host, Paul White. We are in the 8th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, working our way through Paul's writings to the church at Corinth. And we have been for several days talking about Paul's passage on sensitivity to the conscience, namely the conscience of your brother, the people who are around you who are maybe particularly sensitive to certain things going on. In the context of the Corinthian age, it was those who were sensitive to eating meat that had been offered to idols. Over the past several days, as we've looked at this, we've dealt with it from primarily the point of view of a believer who is dealing with other believers who are offended by Greek sacrifices, Gentile sacrifices, and eating the meat that they've offered to their gods. Paul counters that offense by saying, really, the idol's nothing. There's no other god but God. They may be so-called gods, but for us, there's only one. So, you know, eat whatever. But what we haven't done very much of it, in fact, I'm not sure we've really touched it at all, is deal with this from the consciousness of a Jewish Christian. And you should always do that, honestly, when you study the Bible, because the first century, well, let's say it this way, the first generation of Christians were Jewish. They had come from Judaism. They accepted Christ as the Messiah for the Jewish nation. They accepted that Christ's resurrection meant that God had brought a new man into the earth and that they should believe on that new man to be spared from whatever was coming against that old system. That, to me, seems to be the heart cry of Christianity. We don't see the early church, we don't see the first generation church saying to the Gentile world, listen, your destiny is hell, you need to get saved, Jesus is your way out. We do see them saying to their Jewish brothers, look, there's bad stuff coming for your system. You need to get out. It's the end of your age. And the way out is to accept the Messiah. He is your deliverer. It's not what you thought. You thought it was delivered from Rome. It's not. It's delivered from Moses. And you're being delivered if you'll accept Christ as that deliverance. That seems to be the gospel message of the first centuries. And when they look at Gentiles, they invite them into the life of God. And that's the message that goes out. So when we deal with stuff like 1 Corinthians 8, we're in a heathen city, Corinth, with idols everywhere and temples to those idols and sacrifices to those idols. So you have the Christians who come from Jewish backgrounds having to deal with all of these Gentiles coming into the same faith. That was a far bigger hurdle than we give it credit for. For us, Gentiles coming into the faith, well, thank God or none of us would be there, right? But for them, it was a big hurdle because Gentiles had never received in their mind all that God was, although their mind were a bit askewed. You remember Jesus' story of after he reads from Isaiah 61 and he says, today is the acceptable year of the Lord. In other words, Jubilee is here. And then he says, were there not enough widows in Israel that God would send Elijah to the widow at Zarephath? Were there not enough lepers in Judea that God would send Naaman the Syrian? He would send Elisha to Naaman the Syrian to heal him. In other words, the Father has always had people, regardless of the covenant, regardless of the time period. He's always had people outside of Judaism that he was good to, because that's the heart of the Father. Well, that was a tough pill to swallow if you're a first-generation Christian, because you have Judaism as your background. It's very difficult for you to accept that these others, these Gentiles, these idol worshipers, are able to have Jesus. That's why Peter is shocked in Acts 10 when the house of Cornelius begins to speak with other tongues. Peter recognizes that speaking in tongues is an act of the Spirit, and the only way you'd have an act of the Spirit is if you had the Spirit, and the only way you could have the Spirit is if God chose to put the Holy Spirit in you. And how could God possibly choose to put the Holy Spirit in a bunch of Italians who do not know Moses? And that's Peter's conundrum, and that's what he takes back to the council in Jerusalem to say, look, I can't explain it, but Gentiles get the Spirit of God the same way we do. And Paul builds his entire ministry off of that. They get it. Now, I said all of that. That's all just rambling backdrop, honestly, for what I'm trying to bring out in this eighth chapter, and that is what we haven't considered much of in the eighth chapter of 1 Corinthians, is that Paul is not only talking to Christians who are from Jewish backgrounds who are struggling with eating the idol's meat. He's also struggling with Christians who are from a Jewish background who are struggling to eat anything not kosher, because their Jewish background has dictated every morsel of food they've put in their mouths from the day they were born. And now Paul has come along and said, hey, don't worry about this stuff. Those gods aren't real gods. You can eat what you want. When you get to the 10th chapter, we're not there yet, and I don't want to do too much ahead of myself, but in the 10th chapter, 25th verse, eat whatever sold in the meat market, ask no questions for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord and its fullness. Well, that's mind-blowing. I mean, Paul took the opening refrain from the 24th Psalm, the earth is the Lord and the fullness of it, and made a doctrine out of it. You can eat whatever you want, because it all belongs to God. That had to be almost beyond belief for a Christian coming from Judaism who, as I say, has been careful and conscious of every speck and drop and crumb of food they've ever put in their mouth, to hear that, oh, well, go ahead and eat whatever because it's all good. If you look at it from the Jewish Christian standpoint, who is struggling with these unclean animals? Peter struggled with that before his trip to Cornelius' house. Lord, I'm not going to eat this. It's unclean. Don't call unclean what I've called clean, God says. Well, if you look at it from that point of view, then you still see the need to be sensitive. And that's Paul's point. To be sensitive to those who are not walking in the liberty that you're walking in. Now, for us, it's not so much about food. We don't deal with that in our culture as far, well, we do, but not to the religious extent. We deal with the personal allergens and the personal offense extent, but not to the religious extent. But we do have other things that we deal with that some people take great offense to. And you may not feel that there's anything wrong with them, but others do. If you're aware that someone else takes great offense to it, I think Paul's point in the 8th chapter is, if I'm aware that somebody's consciousness struggles or is weak, Paul uses the phrase weak and defiled, then I'm not going to let what I do hurt the man who is weak. That's why he says, beware, verse 9, lest somehow this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to those who are weak, or become a cause of offense to those who are weak. I want to talk about that liberty, and I thought about a whole podcast for it, but I think what I'll do real quick, let me just run you real fast, we'll see where we end up, and maybe pick this up tomorrow. In Galatians 5, Paul says, in the 13th verse, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty, only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. So Paul realizes you have liberty, but your liberty is dangerous because your liberty can be used to do things less honorable. Serve your flesh. And Paul warns you against it, not because if you do, you'll burn in hell, but because you have a neighbor, a brother, who you love and you don't want him to stumble. We'll jump into that with a little more depth tomorrow and keep working this patch in the 8th chapter of 1 Corinthians. I'll see you then. God bless.